Howdy, howdy. So, on our fourth week of the third month of our year of harvest, we are looking at today's title, which is called Cultivating Patience on Palm Sunday, Trusting in God's Timing. And the opening scripture is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8, which says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." So on this Palm Sunday, we reflect on Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem amidst the anticipation of his followers. Just as they awaited his arrival with patience, we too can learn to cultivate patience in our daily lives, trusting in God's perfect timing. So I have a couple questions for you guys today. Five questions to be exact. First question that I ask is, what significance does Palm Sunday hold in the Christian faith? Do you have an answer, good sir?
Oh, you said us like it was more than me.
Yeah.
Palm Sunday, like we talked about a little bit in church today, it's the day that this starts it off. This starts the week. That's most important to all Christians. If they are a true believer of Jesus Christ, this starts out Holy Week. It's when everything gets started. It's the culmination of his coming.
Amen. You said it right. It's the celebration of the Holy Week, the beginning of Holy Week, and it commemorates Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, fulfilling the prophecy and marking the beginning of this Holy Week. The second question I had was reflecting on Jesus's journey to Jerusalem. What lessons can we learn about patience?
Well, seeing that it
Yeah.
took 30 something years for them to get there, and I gotta be accurate in my statements. I don't believe this was his first time going to Jerusalem, but this was the appointed time for him to do what he needed to carry out. And so, like a lot of us, we get impatient. With our life, and just like the scripture that you read to us, to God, 1,000 years as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years to him. It don't make no difference the way that God see it, because he don't operate in time the way that we operate. So it's some things that we can go, it's some place that we can go to for years, and we think like, yeah, this is the time. But until God says it's time, you can go to the bank all you want to. That account gonna keep saying $20. Until God decide to release that increase, for whatever ha need to happen for you to get that increase, you ain't gonna see it until he allow you to see it. So I'm quite sure this wasn't the first time that Jesus visited Jerusalem, but it's just that now this was his appointed time to go carry out what he needed to carry out. So we gotta understand, until it's our appointed time in God's eyes, it ain't gonna happen.
That's real. Yep, the answer I got for here was like Jesus' journey to Jerusalem was deliberate and purposeful. And you had mentioned just the years leading up to him getting to this point in Jerusalem. Jesus showed patience in fulfilling God's plan, despite knowing the challenges that lie ahead and the conclusion that was inevitable for him to have. Awesome, awesome. So, third question says, how do you personally struggle with impatience in your daily life? So, this is for me and you.
Oh wow. Now I get the tags. Now, man, that's a daily struggle. Because like I was just saying, it's like you see stuff and you and I have this talk with Sister Benry all the time. Like, how do you know that things that you see are things that God show that God is showing you? It's like, say for instance, I was just thinking while we was just going over that last question, like I could ride past, I could see the God, I can envision that God gonna have me in my own house and whatever. And I can ride past this, I can ride through this same neighborhood plenty of time. 1 month I might ride through and somebody living in the house. Next month I might ride by, the house for sale. Next month I ride by, somebody in the house. Next month I ride by, people still in the house. But if that's what God have me, it's not, like you say, it's not going to happen until God activates it for it to happen. Because, like we said, Jesus was in Jerusalem a couple of times, but like you just read, now he was going on a particular going for a particular purpose to fulfill what he needs to fulfill.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna say, thank you for sharing first and foremost. Very insightful, really is. For me, when it comes to struggling with impatience, I have a vision and a plan for what I think should happen based off of, you know, everything going right and me doing the right things. And I struggle with, even though I try and do the right things, stuff still, like, even though I try and do everything right, or I try and do the things that I can control right, I struggle with looking at, dang, there's just some things that I can't do. Like, there's some things that are out of my control. There's a lot of things that are out of my control, and I believe that there's a vanity prayer that people came up with. It was like, Lord, help me change the things. Help me change the things that I can change. Or, yeah, it goes something like that. But it was like, help me change the things that I can change, and then help me like give to you what I can't change, and then give me the wisdom to know the difference. So, like, most of the time, that's where my impatience comes. Whether it's like, oh, waiting on a credit score to go up, even though I paid the bills for my stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm waiting on a credit score to go up. But you know that if you don't pay something, you miss a payment, that thing gonna plummet down expeditiously. But as soon as you pay stuff off, it's gonna take a long time for it to come up and rebuild. And you're just like, okay, cool. Like, I'm doing everything right. I'm trying to make sure my dots are, my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed. But, you know, some things just take time. So,
and like another thing, like you and like what you was just, how you saying, like, and we gotta understand, like, majority of the time, most of the things that we do is tied to other people. So I can do what's right on my side, but that don't mean that the other person doing what's right on their side. Like, even they're saying, like, paying the bill, let's say, oh, well, most of the stuff is automated now by computers, but something that needs to be done, man, that person might not feel like doing their job that day. And I did what I was supposed to do on my side. Everything I did was right. Paid, sent the money in on time, did all that. But when it get in to get processed, this person, man, I'm tired. I don't feel I'll do it tomorrow. It's the end of my shift. And that's messing you up. So most of the time, a lot of things that we do are tied to other people. And just because we do doing what's right and doing it the right way don't mean that the other person is going to do it right.
Okay. That's real. Question number four. What are some practical ways we can encourage one another to trust in God's timing?
Practical ways. One thing, I would say just encouraging each other would be one. And like they say, like, I know they say, like, everybody should have like an accountability partner or a prayer partner, but just have that person that you can go to in those times that will give you their reassurance. And have people in your life that that you don't necessarily have to interact with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. For them to care about you. So, because, like, it's a lot of people sometimes, like, I might not have talked to them in a while, but if God put it on my heart to send them a scripture or type up a prayer and send them, I'm going to do it. Now, I might not have verbally spoken to them in months, but if God bring you across my mind or bring across my heart, I'm gonna send it to you just like today. Like I randomly called your brother. I needed to talk to him about something today, but I called him then. We had like I called Carlos. We had like a good little conversation, you know. He talked about his trip and stuff like that. And so just stuff having people in your life like that to where I'm trying to see if I get the words right. To where they are active in your life, but they physically don't physically have to, if I'm making sense, like they active in your life. Like let's say me, for instance, like we active in each other's life, but you in a whole nother city.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But we're active in each other's life. And so many times people we go by what we see, that if we don't see the person, if they not there, we forget about them. But
yeah,
you should have people in your life that no matter where they at, you still active in their life.
Yeah.
So I'll say one big thing would be having those kind of people in your life.
That's real. I was about to say, going back to the third thing we was talking about, impatience often stems from a desire for control or immediate gratification. It can manifest in various areas of life, such as relationships, career, or personal goals. And the answer for number four that I had was encouraging one another through prayer, scripture, and accountability. So you hit all of them on the head. These can help foster trust in God's timing. And practicing gratitude and focusing on God's faithfulness in the past can also provide perspective. So that's what I have for that one. And then finally, the last question that we had for today was sharing a personal experience where waiting patiently led to a positive outcome. So I'm going to just say for me, in 2021, yeah, 2021, I was, you know, doing everything that I possibly could. I had just found out that I had made the next rank, and I was like, oh man, that's amazing, you know, because I was studying real hard for the test. You got a test, and then you rank up if you pass, like if you pass and have a high enough score. But after I had got that, I didn't get the rank. I had to wait on the rank. I had to wait a whole year. But in the middle of that waiting, I was unhappy with the job that I had, and because I used to fix planes, I was unhappy with the job that I had. Not because I didn't like fixing planes. Fixing planes was pretty cool, pretty fun. But I just didn't like my leadership that I had. And I had requested a job change. So long story short, after requesting the job change, putting all the paperwork, sending the stuff up, I finally got picked up for another job. But I had to wait two years, like a year and a half, until I got to switch jobs. So now I'm in this job and I'm happy, and you know, I'm thriving. Just getting, you know, still a baby in the job, but still learning the ropes, but you know, being successful. And I'm just thankful to God that, you know, he allowed me to get this job, because it allowed me to be closer to my family and be closer to home. So that's the situation to where waiting patiently allowed me to, you know, develop resilience, character, and trusting in God's faithfulness. And in hindsight, we often see how God's timing was perfect, even if it differed from our expectations. Do you have any testimony about when your personal, I mean, when you waited patiently and it led to a positive outcome?
I guess since you went the job route, I gotta say my current job that I have now, because I've been out there for, I want to say, almost eight and a half years, and I moved up. And I would say not based on my knowledge, because I always get a testimony. I tell people, out of everybody I work with, I am the one that, yeah, I have the least of degrees. But just from my faithfulness to the job and God's faithfulness to me, It's just he like I tell people I when I first started job, I never thought that I would be in management. And now, if it's the Lord's will, I might be getting another promotion soon. So it and like
Hallelujah.
it's just God's faithfulness and just because it's for me it's I'm a person that gets bored real fast. So if I'm doing something and it's not I'm not gonna say bored fast, but if I'm doing something it's just the same thing over and over and over again. I'm quick to be like, all right, whatever, and just let it go. But God has blessed me and allowed me to find different things on the job throughout the years that when I do get to that point, I find something else to get involved in or get into. And because of my faithfulness on the job, like I said, God's faithfulness to me for being faithful to my job and also being faithful to him, he's increased me beyond what I even thought about. I was good with just getting full time, but I never thought I would be in management.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's me right there. Right there.
Praise God. Okay. Well, thank you. Now, switching gears, I got five ways that we can cultivate patience based off this month's, based off this month's topic. Which is cultivating patience. So I said this last time, but I'm going to do it again until we're on a new topic for the month. So the first way to cultivate patience is practicing mindfulness and gratitude daily. So you got some mindfulness meditations. I don't know if you utilize meditating. You know, the Bible say we got to meditate on God's word. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if you ever used music to meditate with it too, or if you meditate in silence. I don't even know if you do meditate. Do you meditate, sir?
I've tried it.
Okay.
My mind always racing. So I thought a good thing for me to focus, like I'm a music person. So it's certain songs that I can play that I would say speak to my spirit that will calm me and just keep me. I would say in God's presence. And that's how especially if I read something, I want to just keep it and meditate on it. I'll listen to a particular song. I play the song all day, play the song back to back throughout the whole day when I have the opportunity to. So I guess that's how I be mindful with music.
Okay. And then you engage in gratitude daily. So, daily prayers, thanking God for what he does and everything. Second thing that we can do is engage in activities that promote relaxation and stress relief, such as spending time in nature. My cousin, he had told me the other day, well, I'll say a couple months back, he was just like, hey, cuz, you ever just went and just hugged a tree? Now me, I was just like, I never just went and hugged the tree, cuz that's not me. But then after he said that, I had the next tree I was by when I was walking. I was just like, I put my hand on it, and that was it. And I was just like, huh. And he said he hugged the tree because he said he put his hand on the tree, he hugged the tree, and he said you could just think to yourself, like, while you're feeling it, like, dang, this tree has been here. Like, if it was a tall tree, this tree has been here a long time and has seen so many things and, like, outlived so many people. And when you put it like that, I was just like, dang, like, I need to start paying attention to what's going on around me, because these things that we got going on in life, they're, like, they're vain. Like, the only thing that matters is, like, your relationship with people. These jobs, they come and go. Money come and go. But, like, these relationships and people that you impact on a daily basis, or you may rarely see them ever again, but, like, those interactions matter. And, like, that's, like, those memories and things. And I was like, dang, if that tree could talk, man, I wonder what that tree would say. I wonder what wisdom the tree would have had. And I'm like, dang, God made this tree, so God got so much, like, and I was like, dang, it just made me appreciate it. So even though I thought it was a wild, like, just not wild, but just like very unorthodox way of thinking, it was right on time and very authentic, and I really appreciated that. So yeah, spending time in nature and meditating. You ever had spent time in nature with that?
Oh man, I don't go outside and walk around like that, man. I go
I
outside
feel
no
you. I
jacket.
feel you. I feel you. Okay. Number three is setting realistic expectations and embracing the process of growth and learning. So, yeah, setting realistic expectations. Like, if let's just say you want that house, but you know what I'm saying? Let's just say you want the house, but you know, credit not looking too good. So let's just set the expectation of, I mean, realistic expectation and goal of, all right, by the end of the year, I want my credit to go up 20 points or 40 points. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Like, don't just say, oh yeah, I want to buy a house in cash by the end of the year. Like, nah, you're gonna set yourself up for like failure and you're gonna feel let down and you're not gonna feel relaxed at that point. And then you're not even gonna understand the process of growing and learning. What do you have for us about realistic expectations and embracing the process of growth and learning?
Go back to the scripture that you're talking about, knowing the timing and understand God's timing is not our timing. And when we realize that, it allows us to take, how would I put it? It allows us to take different steps. Sometimes we gotta take baby steps, and sometimes we gotta take leaps. But and sometimes we grow fast, and sometimes we don't. We grow. Sometimes we move fast. Sometimes we move slow. Sometimes we have small growth, and sometimes we have big growth. But we gotta understand that that's all according to God's plan and how God sees it for us, not how we see it. Just like you say, oh well, I'm gonna buy a house cash. If you can't keep your credit right, how you gonna buy a house cash? And like you say, you just at that point you just set yourself up for failure. But when we understand that God's time is not our time, His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts, it allows us to take each day for what it is and continue to progress towards the goal that we want, knowing that sometimes we'll see a lot of progression and sometimes we'll see a little bit of progression and sometimes it may seem that we don't see no progression at all. But we got to understand that it's all in God's timing.
Amen. 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 Oh, yeah. Number four of the steps you can use is surrounding yourself with supportive community and accountability partners who can encourage you in times of waiting. So you kind of hit that earlier. Do you have anything more you want to elaborate on that?
That I would say that we have to understand that that is a necessity, and a lot of people we don't a lot of people a lot of us don't have that. And along with it, I would say when we're talking about this, we're talking about dealing with spiritual things. So I would say never look at somebody's physical age. Try and gauge them how spiritually mature they are, because it could be somebody 10 years younger than you, but they are as spiritually mature as you are. So you just gotta take it as that, and you gotta understand that God gonna put people in your life that will help you along the way. It might not be the people that you want. You might not get TD Jakes to be your mentor, but it might be a local minister that nobody knows that you come across, and y'all you walk randomly meet and y'all have a conversation about God and y'all kick it off. Like the other day, well, a couple weeks ago, I had to go put some money in the bank. It was like late at night, and it was a homeless dude. He was sitting out there outside of the bank, and I saw that he was reading. And then I saw that he when I walked by, I saw he was reading. Then I came back, I saw that he was reading the Bible. And so we had a nice little conversation for like 5, 10 minutes. And I was on the phone and they was like, "You just gonna sit there and listen to him?" I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing what he reading. He reading the word. I see what he reading. So I want to hear what he got to say. And that's so many times like I say, we look at the physical and we judge people like, oh well, they don't look like they know nothing. But you never know what a person know until you take this time to hear what they got to say. Now, it may be some people that say stuff and you're like, yeah, no. But then some people may talk to that don't look like it, and you'd be like, oh well, yeah, they know what they talk about. So it's gonna be different people in different places that we go to, where God may bring people into our life that could be around to help us and be like our accountability partner, like be our prayer partner. But we gotta be open to those people. We just can't think like, nah, I'm not gonna deal with them kind of people. I'm better than them. Nah, you never know what somebody have to offer until you listen to what they have to offer.
That's real. Sheesh. Okay. And I was about to say, you talking about, they might not be TD Jakes and they might not be known by, by people, or you said they might not be known, but I mean, they known by God, you know what I'm saying? And that's all that matters. For real, for real. Like God gonna put them in places and give them the audience that they need, because you never know. They might have gone to seminary, or they might have been, taught, or they might have been ministers just for this time and place to be a mentor and a minister to you. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's an amazing opportunity. And I think, you hit the nail right on the head, with surrounding yourself with people like that. But that leads to another point. Like you gotta have the ear, like the ear that's hearing God. There's a lot of noise going on. Like at my job, there's so much, because I'm in the office, the scheduling office, where everybody just comes in there to see who's flying, who's going where, who's doing what, which is cool, right? And then we got like a big TV there that, like, I had put my Netflix on there, and then my subordinates, or the people under me, they be watching like Avatar. And that can get people's attention that's walking in. So you got Avatar playing, you got a lot of foot traffic, like a lot of people walking by, stopping, talking about their weekend, golf, all that stuff. And then the other half of the room looking at the scheduling board, and they just like, hey, I want to change this, that, and the third. So it's a lot of noises that I hear. So basically, it's a lot of noises that I hear at the job. Whole time I'm trying to type on the computer to do something important, like, get type some evaluations. So with that in mind, you know what I'm saying? How do you lock in on that voice of God when there's so much commotion going on around you in the toils of life, not just at work, but just in life general?
Honestly, I have hard to say I have a routine.
Okay.
When I'm in the car, because my mama car ain't the most popular car. So whenever I'm in the car, I'm listening to I'm trying to listen to some gospel and spiritual music, or I'm thinking about stuff that God put on my mind. And it's in them times that I do, because I know once I pick my girls up, that's gonna be a whole nother thing. When I get to work, I'm gonna be ripping and running everywhere. When I get to church, I'm gonna be focused on making sure that stuff operating at church. So I have my quiet time when I'm in the car. And it's been like that for years though. I've always been like that. Like, cause in the car, I can control what I'm doing. Like, I don't have to have the radio when I'm by, especially if I'm by myself, I don't have to have the radio on. I can sit there in silence, so I can meditate. If God want me to listen to bring a scripture to my mind, I could go ahead and I might not read it, but I could turn on the Bible app and listen to it while I'm going to wherever I'm going. If God puts something on my heart, I could pull out my phone when I'm stopped. Sometimes I don't do it when I'm stopped, and I could go ahead and write some notes real quick. So that's what I get the majority of my time is like that. Sometimes I do. When I'm at work, because I do have a place where I can go at work and it's quiet, but most of the time now, especially since I have other duties that I just started having to fulfill, So mostly for me is when I'm in the car.
Heck yeah, I like that. And my, that's some real good stuff. Establish a routine. Pretty sure the people listening to this, they'll appreciate that. And then lastly, the last recommendation, last practical step, practical way to cultivate patience, is to regularly remind yourself of God's promises and faithfulness through prayer and scripture. I mean, you said everything that you needed to say on that last one. Like you knocked this one out of the park too. So our closing scripture comes out of Psalms chapter number 27, verse number 14, and it says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take control. Wait for the Lord." As we reflect on Palm Sunday and the patience demonstrated by Jesus and his followers, may we be inspired to trust in God's timing and cultivate patience in our own lives. Do you have anything that you want to pray about or talk about or any closing remarks?
Oh man. Just me, anything I had to pray for is just over the past couple months, I've just really been searching myself and making sure that how I say, I'm right with God to where when I do see him, he won't tell me, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity." So I try and make sure that all that I do is that I'm right in doing it. Because I heard somebody the other day, I was on TikTok, and I heard it before, but this one really just caught me. He was like, "As preachers or ministers, we always going to God and telling God to prepare, to help us prepare a word when we should be going to him and asking him to prepare us. Because once we're prepared, the word will come. The word will come out of us from our overflow." So I think that's one of the main things that I've been really consistently trying to do for the last couple months, is make sure that I'm prepared in general overall, so that I don't fall short of what God has called me to do, and that I'm doing it the way that he wants me to do it, and I'm not doing it for my gain, but I'm doing it for his glory.
Amen. Okay. Shoot. I pray the same thing, pray that we're doing it for his glory, Okay. Well, let us close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude our time together on this Palm Sunday, we come before you with hearts filled full of gratitude and reverence. Thank you for the opportunity to gather, to discuss and to reflect on your word and the lessons of patience that it imparts. Lord, we ask you for your guidance and strength as we strive to cultivate patience in our daily lives. Grant us the wisdom and trust in your perfect timing, knowing that your plans are greater than our own. Help us to wait with hope and with confidence, knowing that you are faithful to fulfill your promises. Bless each person that's here today and those that are listening after, and may your peace fill our hearts. And may we do everything for your glory, and that your love shine through us as we navigate the challenges of life. May we be a source of encouragement and support to one another, always pointing each other towards your unfailing grace and mercy. As we depart from this time of fellowship, Lord, go before us and lead us in the path of righteousness, keep us safe from harm, and may your presence be ever felt and ever near forevermore. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And if you guys liked listening to this Bible study vibes, be sure to check us out on YouTube and all other streaming platforms. This is part of OSG TV's show lineup. On Sundays, we got Bible study vibes, a little recap of what God wants us to talk about. Wednesdays, we got World News Views, which the ladies, they tell us their perspective on what's going on in the world. And then on Fridays, we got Fresh Fridays where we discuss some culture. We talk about sports and everything in between. I have been your host. My name is Haji, and I had Corey with me today, just like it was on Fresh Fridays. And we hope you guys have a blessed rest of your week, and we'll see you guys again next Sunday. Deuces.
Peace.